Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. If you can't tell, I am so freaking excited about today's episode. I've been wanting to do this for a very long time, basically since Xavier McKinney signed with the Packers, and go through and grade every single play from McKinney from 2023, watch every single play from McKinney in 2023, and kind of give some of my main takeaways, do a complete deep dive, and sort of just personally get to know Xavier McKinney better as a player. You know, when he signs immediately as a free agent, I kind of go through and watch a handful of games and get a feel for him and do the immediate breakdown. But one of the things is, most of you guys know that I enjoy doing almost more than anything that really gives me a view of the Packers that few, if any, other people in the world have, is I go through and I watch every single Packer on every single play. I've been doing it since 2017. I assign grades almost just for my own tracking more than anything. Some people appreciate those, so I give them out as well. But It's something that I love doing. And what I kind of wanted to do is see, how did Xavier McKinney grade based on how I've been doing it for, again, since basically 2017? How would he have fit in? Where would he have ranked last year in the rankings? So I've been wanting to do this for forever. As you can imagine, probably, it takes a hot second to go through and grade every single Xavier McKinney play. Now, I have not watched every single snap of Xavier McKinney in his career. I have watched every single snap now of Xavier McKinney in 2023, and that is what our discussion is going to be based on today. Before I get there, really super quick, shout out to Ralph Ranucci, for signing up to become a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Appreciate that a ton, Ralph. Thanks for signing up. If you are interested, you can go over to the YouTube channel, hit memberships, and you will be able to see there the different options that are available to you. Otherwise, like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Always appreciate those a ton as well. And more than anything, just thank you so much for being here and making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. So let's get into Xavier McKinney. First of all, let's talk grades for just a quick second. As I said, go through and grade every player in every play since 2017, specifically the Packers, every once in a while when they do grab a big free agent signing. I will go through and grade the previous season. I did it with Adrian Amos and others when they've signed in the past. You will hear Andre Dillard's breakdown tomorrow, and then Josh Jacobs will probably be sometime in the next week or two when I get to doing that. So we'll go through all of these free agents that they signed, the three big ones basically, in Dillard, Jacobs, and Xavier McKinney, and we'll go through and we'll grade all of them. If you're not, maybe grades aren't your cup of tea, whatever, as I will always say, it's not the be-all end-all. It's my own personal view of it. The grades have, I think, matched up pretty well with the play on the field over the years and which players they've kept and which ones they've released. But again, it's my own system. I do my own thing. If you don't want to put stock in that, that's fine. I think maybe the part that you'll enjoy a little bit more in this episode is all the key takeaways and all the sort of things that I learned about McKinney. So we'll get to that in the second half of today's episode. We'll start with the grades first. And with that being said, I went through, as I mentioned, watched every play, and I think you're going to really enjoy the takeaways, and I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. It was interesting. I get through the first 3 weeks of Xavier McKinney. I had a negative 0.3 grade on him. I thought it was a little bit of a slow start to the season. And to be crystal clear here, it's not like I have the answers in the back of the book to be like, oh, but I know he's going to grade super well in the future. This could have been something where I went along and graded him, and I'm like, wow, I was really excited for this guy, but like, he just ended up with a pretty, you know, neutral grade, or a negative grade, or a slightly positive grade. That's not what I was expecting. I'm going to go through and use the same criteria I do for everyone else, regardless of if it's a star player, it's an average player, whatever. I'm going to go through and grade it the same way. So I went through the first three games, it's a negative 0.3 grade. I'm like, all right, well, let's not off to a great start. Even through the first 4 weeks, it was a neutral grade, 0.00, so completely neutral. And I was like, all right, I kind of want to see and sort of hope that this progresses. It was just when I say a slow start, like a neutral grade through 4 weeks is not an awful start by any means. He played neutral level football, didn't necessarily help his team win, but certainly didn't help his team lose. But then from week 5 on, here were his grades week by week: plus 1.2, plus 0.35, plus 0.55, plus 0.45, plus 0.5, plus 0.45, plus 0.8, plus 1.95, plus 0.15, plus 0.3, neutral, plus 0.05, plus 2.75, for a total grade on the season of plus 9.50. Now, for some of you, you won't know exactly what that means. We don't need to get into the full minutia of exactly the numbers and how it's all graded and everything like that. If you want, you can go out on Packer Report and check out any of my Grading the Pack articles that I've ever done, and the grading scale will be in there. But here are some notes that I think, again, you will very much enjoy. Plus 9.50 would have been my second highest graded Packer of anyone on the roster in 2023. Only Jordan Love with a plus 16.7 would have been higher. So he would have immediately been the second highest graded Packer that I had in 2023. He would have been my top graded defender easily. Kenny Clark last year was my top graded defender with a plus 4.65. Xavier McKinney was at plus 9.50. So quite easily would have been my highest graded defender. My top graded safety, who actually played any amount of actual snaps, I think Dallin Leavitt had like a plus 0.05 on like one or two snaps or something like that. But of the safeties that actually played, my top graded safety last year was Rudy Ford with a negative 0.7 grade. Again, Xavier McKinney had a plus 9.5. Darnell Savage, the starting safety, their primary starting safety, for me on the season, negative 1.75 grade. That is a plus 12.25 difference going from Darnell Savage to Xavier McKinney. A massive, massive upgrade. My entire safety group last year as a whole, every safety that played at any in any snaps period was negative 5.70, the entire safety group. Now, Xavier McKinney takes that and just obliterates it, makes it a huge positive, basically, in and of himself, just by being on the team. My final total defensive grade for the Packers in 2023. So you take every snap from every player on defense all together in 2023, and it was a negative 10.35 grade. The difference from going to from Darnell Savage to Xavier McKinney, that plus 12.25 difference, just that switch alone would have put the Packers from a pretty significantly negatively graded defense with negative 10.35 to now a positively graded defense. That is an insane statistic to me, or an insane number to me, that just going from Savage to McKinney would have made this from a negative defense, negatively graded defense, to a positively graded defense. It's just incredible. McKinney's plus 2.75 grade in the final week of the season last year would have been my highest grade in any game last year for a Packers defender. So it graded higher than any other game that any other Packers defender had. The other highest one, or the actual highest one that I had last year for the Packers, was Rashawn Gary in week 12 with a plus 1.95 grade. And again, McKinney easily beat that with his final week 18 game last year, where he had two interceptions in that game and was fantastic. McKinney's second best grade, plus 1.95, would have been tied with Rashawn Gary for the best grade on the season last year. And that was his second best game. So again, like I said, I think you guys are going to enjoy Xavier McKinney a little bit. He only had two negative games graded on the entire season last year. Those were weeks two and week three, which were negative 0.25 and negative 0.1 respectively. Negative 0.1 is, for all intents and purposes, a neutral grade. Negative 0.25, a slight negative. But those were the only 2 weeks he graded negative, and those two combined were a negative 0.35, which is just, we don't even need to mention it. Like, basically neutral grades, nothing major at all. A player that I was interested in sort of comparing him to a little bit was Adrian Amos. So I went back and I looked at Adrian Amos's grades, and his final season, Amos had a negative 3.75. He was nowhere near himself in that final season, which is why Green Bay ultimately decided to move on. But his first three seasons with the Packers were great. Plus 7.15, plus 6.00, and plus 5.90. So as good as Adrian Amos was in those first three seasons, especially that first season with a plus 7.15, Xavier McKinney, still a good step ahead of him with a plus 9.50. And I think one of the things that we'll talk about with some of the key takeaways from Xavier McKinney, my favorite aspect of Adrian Amos, And still to this day, one of the reasons I really enjoyed watching him play as a Green Bay Packer, even when I went back and graded him in his final season as a Chicago Bear, is he is just Mr. Consistency. He is always in the right spot. He's always where he's supposed to be. He is doing his job the exact way that it's supposed to be done. He was a sound tackler. He was like almost the Bill Belichickian, just do your job. And he did it right almost every single play. And like I said, I just love the consistency that he played with. But sort of Amos's kryptonite was he never really made those spectacular plays. Now, he had that interception against Chicago in his first game to seal that game. There was certainly a play here or there. But over the course of his career, and even over the course of his time in Green Bay, he never was really a playmaker. And you were fine with it because he was so good at everything else. But he was never a playmaker. With Xavier McKinney, you get a lot of the same Adrian Amos stuff where he is always in the right spot, always where he's supposed to be, Mr. Consistency, but you get some of the playmaking ability as well, which I think is what propels him to have even that better grade than what Adrian Amos had even in his best season in Green Bay. The NBA Finals are officially over, and congratulations to the Boston Celtics on winning the championship, as much as it pains me to say as a Milwaukee Bucks fan. But even though the NBA Finals are over, the hoops action doesn't stop on Prize Picks. Women's basketball is just getting started, and young stars like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are making names for themselves, and it's been the most talked about WNBA season ever. And you're not going to want to miss out on the action, period. And of course, with Prize Picks, you could win 100 times your cash watching stars like Breonna Stewart and Aja Wilson ball out every single week. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, Georgia, and of course, Wisconsin. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. So join in on the fun and become part of the Prize Picks community today. I do have to say that I am a little bit bummed that Cameron Brink recently suffered a torn ACL, but I'm still super stoked to watch some WNBA action this week. I'm going to be going heavy on Arike Ogunbowale and Alyssa Thomas this week, and might be even on the lookout for some Kelsey Plum three-pointer options as well. Either way, it should be an exciting week of WNBA action that's even more exciting with Prize Picks. The best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. My top graded defenders, again, started doing this in 2017. Xavier McKinney's plus 9.50 last year in 2023 would have been the ninth best grade that I ever gave a defender on the season. And it would have been the second best grade for a defensive back. It would have been the best grade that I ever gave a safety, again, going back to 2017. I should also note here, earlier on, 2017 to 2018, 19, and even a little bit of 20, or like I should say even 20 a little bit, I did have a little bit of a different scale where the highs were higher and the lows were lower. And I've just sort of condensed that in a little bit. So you don't usually get quite as high highs and you don't get quite as low lows. Like I said, it's a little bit more condensed, but even still, even if we take it as is, 2017, Kenny Clark had a 10.95 grade. 2018, Kenny Clark, a plus 13.1. 2019, Kenny Clark had a plus 11.7. 2019, Preston Smith had a plus 10.4. 2019 Za'Darius Smith, still one of my all-time favorite seasons for a Packer, plus 20.3. He was so freaking unbelievable in that year. 2020 Jaire Alexander, plus 13.55. 2020 Kenny Clark, plus 9.80. And 2021 Kenny Clark with a plus 11.70. First of all, shout out to Kenny Clark for being on that list five times. Preston once, Za'Darius once, Jaire Alexander once. But those would have been the eight seasons that would have been better than McKinney's plus 9.50. McKinney's plus 9.50 would again be the ninth best of any Packer that I've ever graded since 2017 on defense. And again, second best defensive back, best safety that I've ever graded going back to that time. Maybe you don't want to take my word for it. Maybe you want to know what PFF thought. Their grades, they have a 87.5 grade on him from a season ago. Just to kind of easily compare that to the Packers last year, their best grade on a Packers defender last year was Rashawn Gary with a 79.0. So 8.5 better than their best defender in 2023, which again was Rashawn Gary. Their best overall Packer on the season was Jordan Love with an 83.6. And again, McKinney was at 87.5 for them. So they actually even had a better grade than Jordan Love for Xavier McKinney. So he would have been PFF's highest graded Packer had he played the same and been on the Packers last year. He would have been my second only behind Jordan Love. All right, so that does it from a grading standpoint. Let's more go over what, you know, some of my key takeaways and all the different things that I learned about Xavier McKinney by watching every snap last year. First of all, the Giants did in fact use Xavier McKinney everywhere. One of the hard parts about going through this exercise is when you go to watch the tape, if you're watching a left tackle, you can like Andre Dillard tomorrow, you can just turn on the tape and you know, all right, Andre Dillard, left tackle, left tackle, left tackle. When I watch Jordan Morgan and his film breakdowns, left tackle, I don't have to search for him, right? With Xavier McKinney, I have to do a little bit of searching before every single play. Where the heck is he? It's like, where's Waldo? Thankfully, there's only 11 people that I have to search between, but they're like all wearing the same thing, which makes it a little bit more difficult from the sideline view. Yeah, you know, you don't get to see the numbers. So you have to, you know, sort of get, you know, maybe he's wearing a sleeve a little bit differently, or maybe he's wearing different shoes. You start picking up on some things. But the thing is, like, I always had to find him because he would sometimes be in the slot. He would sometimes be a box safety. Sometimes you'd basically almost be used as a linebacker. There'd be times where you're certainly in post as a safety. It's like the single deep safety. He'd be used in two safety looks. Like, they would use him in every single way imaginable. And it was really telling that they trusted him to do everything. They would blitz him off the edge. They would blitz him from linebacker. They would drop him into coverage. Again, they would have him play as the single high safety in range, sideline to sideline. They would match him up in the slot. Not a ton on wide receivers one-on-one, but it would happen from time to time. But he was everywhere, and that versatility is going to be huge for Jeff Hafley and how they want to use him. We heard Matt LaFleur talk about the safeties and how they want to be interchangeable with them. And Xavier McKinney is going to give them everything that they want because you can use him everywhere and you don't have to worry about what he can do or what he can't do. He can just go in any of those spots and you can trust him to go out and perform his job at a very high level. And that's exactly how the Giants used him. The second thing that I took away from it is he was incredibly involved in the defense. And that kind of goes hand in hand with number one a little bit, but you could tell they really focused a lot of what they were doing specifically in the secondary around Xavier McKinney. What would be his strengths? They would game plan for how they could utilize him. And like I said, they would put him in spots where he could be successful, whether that be as a blitzer, whether that be as a, you know, pure safety, whether that be as a, you know, slot guy, whatever it might be, they had full trust in him and they found ways to get him involved. You know, certain times, you know, it's a little bit different with corner, but in the Joe Barry era, you know, with Jaire Alexander, you would just see him. He'd be on the same side of that, you know, at corner every single play. And it was just, we're going to keep him there, keep him there, keep him there. And there wasn't a lot of creativity there. Xavier McKinney in what Jeff Hafley is going to use him as and how they're going to utilize him, he is going to be utilized in whatever way that Jeff Hafley can dream up. And I have a feeling Jeff Hafley can dream up some pretty creative things. And they are going to game plan to make Xavier McKinney successful. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. You don't give that guy that contract and bring him in to be a core piece of your team and then just say, yep, he's just going to be our post safety. They will use him in a variety of different ways. They will let him be a core piece of this defense and game plan specifically to put him into advantageous situations. That's what the Giants did, and it worked extremely, extremely well. One of the things I thought he did a fantastic job with was covering tight ends. How many years did the Packers just struggle every single time they got matched up with an even like remotely decent tight end? Listen, if you don't think this is an important aspect, specifically playing in the NFC North, first of all, you know, the Travis Kelce's, the George Kittle's, the Mark Andrews of the world. If you've got a big time tight end, it completely changes your offense in a very significant way. But in the division, you've got Laporta for the Lions. You've got Hockenson for the Vikings. He'll obviously be coming back a little bit from that ACL. But at some point, Hockenson for the Vikings. And even the Bears have Cole Kmet and then Gerald Everett, excuse me. They have those guys. And that's going to be a pretty good gauntlet of tight ends that they're going to see six times throughout the course of the season. So having a guy that can go and match up specifically with Laporta, Like, Laporte is going to be a certified problem for a while in this division, unless they pull a TJ Hockenson and trade him after a few seasons, but I don't see that happening. So this is going to be a situation where Xavier McKinney is going to be called upon at times to shut down some of these really good tight ends. He did such a great job, even on plays where McKinney was in man-to-man coverage with a tight end and they would catch a ball. It would be like 9 yards and McKinney would immediately bring him down. So, and that sometimes you got to tip your cap to the offense. Now, if it was like a 30-yard play, be like, all right, well, we got to make sure that doesn't happen again. But like, even the completions were pretty pedestrian, pretty nondescript. And like I said, Xavier McKinney would immediately make the play to get them to the ground. Next up, his ability to disguise. Yeah, it was awesome to watch and see exactly what he was capable of from a disguise standpoint of, there would be times where he would be deep as the post safety and then they would scream him back up to the line. They'd bring the other safety that was in the box back and now he would become the box safety. And he did a great job of disguising that. I thought he did a great job of disguising his blitzes. He'd be lined up in the slot looking like he was going to cover a guy and then he would come screaming off the edge. There'd be times where he was lined up as a linebacker, a box safety. And again, he would do a great job of disguising whether or not he would be the guy that would float back to safety or if he was going to come on a blitz. There's a huge game within the game of, you know, when you hear a hard count from a quarterback, I know a lot of you guys know this, but when you hear a hard count from a quarterback, it's not just to draw somebody off sides. That's not the main thing. In fact, Green Bay does such a phenomenal job with this of it's not, yes, if you can get the free play, great. But why they go through that full play clock at times, especially in the Aaron Rodgers era, is you immediately go to that hard count right away. If you get the free play, great. We snap it. We try to go and see if you can ultimately get a big play out of it. But the bigger thing is if they don't jump, it may not be that a defensive lineman jumped across the line of scrimmage, but you might get a tell from anyone else on the field. You might get a tell from a corner that was trying to disguise that they were going to play off coverage, but then they were going to come up actually and play man. You might get a safety that, again, maybe one of those switches. They might be showing that they're going to be in cover one, but one of those safeties might bail and go to cover two. And if you do that a lot of times with those safeties, if you are going to, you know, change them up post snap, you've got to immediately make that move as soon as the ball is snapped so you can get to the spot that you need to get to your landmark. So if you do a hard count, that safety might give you just a slight step backwards or a slight step forwards to tell you exactly what they're going to do. And good quarterbacks can take massive advantages of that. And with Xavier McKinney, he does a great job of disguising that and not tipping his hand and not having to tell to say, oh, I'm actually going to do this. And that will be something that is super important because, like I said, I do think Jeff Hafley is going to be extremely creative with how he uses him in this defense. Next up, I thought he consistently got better as the season went along. And this was already a player, by the way, who was a very good safety. But I thought he even played his best football as the course of the year went along. As I mentioned, the first 4 weeks of the season was pretty, you know, average, literally 0.0 grade through 4 weeks. But then he just kind of took off. And I think the other thing that's worth noting here is he got better as the season went along, despite the fact that the Giants had nothing to play for. You will see guys in those situations quit or maybe not play quite up to the level that they would if they were on a playoff contending team. He kept playing and he kept getting better and he kept playing harder and to the point where he literally had his best game in the final week of the season, despite the Giants having nothing to play for in that game. And if you think about it, like if he was already playing this well for a team that quite frankly was not very good, it frustrated me even more watching this team that the Packers lost to them last year, but I digress. If he played this well for a team that had nothing to play for, that wasn't good, that was eliminated, imagine what he is going to do for hopefully a team that is competing at a very high level, that is having a chance to go to the playoffs and maybe even compete beyond that. I think it's going to be even better, and I expect him to even step his game up even more in those situations. Number six is kind of what we talked about with the Adrian Amos comparison. There were so incredibly few bad plays. It was, again, the first month of the season, you saw a few more, but after that, it was just like, this guy does not make mistakes. He doesn't make bad plays. It's just good play after good play or at least non-negative plays. There's certainly going to be a lot of neutral plays in there as well, but you're really trying to avoid those negatives and create, you know, real positive moments. And that's what you see out of him. And again, it's that level of consistency. It's that level of just, yeah, I want to say like veteran leadership or just like, just do your job mentality, whatever you want to call it. He just goes out and he does his job at a very high level and he's not going to make mistakes. So that aspect of his game, especially at safety, there's literally the word safe in the word safety. You've got to a lot of times be that last line of defense. You've got to make sure that you are the one that is making that play. And, you know, this is not to compare completely to Darnell Savage or to tear down Darnell Savage by any means, but we saw on multiple occasions where Darnell Savage would miss that last play and it can come back and haunt them. And it did last year. And those things can really hurt you. And Xavier McKinney has a very good ability to clean up those plays, to do his job and make sure that those huge explosive plays are done at the 9 or 15 yard mark rather than 40, 60, 80 yards down the field. So the very few bad plays, really, really fun just to see his level of consistency out on the field. Next up, he takes great angles to the football. It's another thing that sets him apart as a safety. It is so important. It is so freaking important. It is a massive game of geometry out there of making sure you're taking, you know, you're cutting the field and making sure that you're taking that exact perfect angle. He does it. He does it perfectly. I think there was maybe one or two plays where he took a slightly questionable angle, but other than that, he was exactly where he was supposed to be, took the exact right angle to the ball, especially did a nice job when he got some of those opportunities to play single high. Just really smart, really, really smart football player. And it shows up with plays like that, where again, he's constantly taking the right angle to the football. A couple negatives here. The first negative and number 8 on my list here overall, he's not a dynamic blitzer. They will use him as a blitzer. He can get home from time to time in large part due to his ability to disguise pre-snap. But once the ball is actually snapped and he has to go beat someone, he doesn't really have a lot in his bag. Like he's basically limited to if I can get, you know, if the defensive coordinator can get Xavier McKinney as a free rusher, he can get home. But if there's somebody in his way, he doesn't really get by them all that often. There's a lack of dynamic ability as a pure blitzer. So if you're thinking they just found another Charles Woodson that can come off the edge and he's just going to create, he's not that. He's fine at it. I'm not saying he's bad at it, but he's not dynamic at it. Number 9, I do think he can clean up his tackling a bit, although this is another aspect of his game that I thought got better as the season went along. One thing that he does is he goes for the forced fumble far too often. So rather than just wrapping up and getting the guy to the ground, he'll start raking at the ball or trying to peanut punch it out, which there is a time and a place to do some of those things, but it does definitely lead to some extra yardage and a few missed tackles here and there, because instead of just going for the wrap, you know, you're going for that ball. And kind of how it's taught by most teams is the first person gets that wrap up on them, and then if there's a second defender there, they're the ones that are going for that that peanut punch or trying to knock the ball out. But it's the first person there's responsibility to just wrap them up and try to get them to the ground. And with McKinney, I think he can do a little bit better job of that. I do think he could use a little bit more urgency as well in some of the goal line situations where it bothers me sometimes. Savage did this all the time where the safety will be kind of back on a play. And I know that they have to be cognizant of potential play action plays, but the running back gets the ball and they're kind of just like pausing in the end zone for a bit. And I would love to see a little bit more aggression from, the safeties, specifically in this case, Xavier McKinney, to go up and try to make a play, because otherwise by the time you get there, they're going to be in the end zone already anyway. It's already going to be a touchdown. So I think there could be a little bit more urgency there. And then lastly here, from a tackling standpoint, he assumes tackles too many times. What I mean by this is there will be a play over there and, maybe there's a linebacker and another safety there that are going to make the play, or maybe there's just a linebacker. He has a propensity to just assume that they're going to get the job done. And I'd like to see him rally to that football a little bit better and make sure that, hey, if that player does break that tackle, I'm there to immediately make it, or I can go and help in on that tackle. So that's something I would like to see a little bit more of. I do think he gets, again, a little bit complacent or a little bit like just assuming that player over there is going to make it. He just assumes it and doesn't cover it just in case. I think that could be something that he does a little bit better. And if you can tell, I don't have any real major negative things to say about Xavier McKinney. His tape was that good. These are more of just small things that I think he can clean up on, hopefully over time. I do think that the thing that sets him apart from the Adrian Amos, that just consistent players, he does have the ability to be a playmaker. And we saw that, 3 interceptions last year, 2 in that final game. I think there's even more opportunity for him out there, and I'm hoping that he can take that step in Green Bay this year. And last but not least, I could see even some of that leadership out on the field, just constantly encouraging teammates and being communicative. Like, you could see it. You could absolutely see it out on the film, even though it's all 22 up, you know, way up on top of the stadium and it's a sideline view and there's no sound. You can still pick up on some of it, just how his mannerisms and how he's going about playing out there with his teammates. Like I said, communicating, doing everything that you would want him to do as a leader out on that defense. The long and short of it all is this is absolutely a massive, massive free agent signing for Brian Gutekunst in Green Bay. Again, I love the fact that he stayed competitive and kept getting better despite the Giants being bad. And now you're going to have a team that's actually playing for something. And I think hopefully that motivates him even more and he plays even better in 2024 than what he did in 2023. But here's the thing. If Green Bay just gets that 2023 version of Xavier McKinney, it is a massive, massive free agent signing. Like I said, he would have been basically double, you know, as good as any other player on the team. In this specific case, Kenny Clark, specifically on defense, I should say. Like, it was a really phenomenal season. And how a lot of these grades work is it's not always just the big plays that you make, although that certainly helps a ton. But the best players, the ones that grade the best, are the ones that very rarely make a bad play. Like, that's how, like, Zach Tom just grades so well, because he just rarely gets beat. He's constantly consistent. David Bakhtiari, like, in his prime, before injury, like, it was just, he was in, you know, just easy mode, it felt like. He was just going to set, you know, do his set. The guy would come at me, would just matrix it and just kind of put his hand behind his back and fight him off with one hand. And that guy was never getting by him. It was almost like, you know, he was just bored by it in all the best ways. Like, meaning he could just go out there, do the same thing over and over, and teams or defenders would not give him trouble. And it's that attention to detail that, you know, kind of can set some of these guys apart. And Xavier McKinney has all of it, but he just has to maintain what he did last year and keep doing that. Whew, look out. This is going to be the best safety in Green Bay since probably Nick Collins. Probably Nick Collins. I know Charles Woodson played there a bit as well. What, one or two seasons, maybe one. And that went pretty well for Charles. But as a pure safety, as a pure true safety, I think McKinney's going to be the best one since Nick Collins. And if you can't tell, I'm pretty geeked. I'm pretty excited. This is going to be a massive addition to the defense and set up Jeff Hafley for success in 2024. That's going to do it for me today. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, Dave McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, and Dan Gesford. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.